From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series in Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. This particular book sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll have a devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music. Our text for this morning comes from Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse 51. Strangers are come into the sanctuaries of the Lord's house. On this account the faces of the Lord's people were covered with shame, for it was a terrible thing that men should intrude into the holy place reserved for the priests alone. Everywhere about us we see like cause for sorrow. How many ungodly men are now educating with the view of entering into the ministry? How fearful it is that ordinances should be pressed upon the unconverted, and that among the more enlightened churches of our land there should be such laxity of discipline. If those who hear this devotional shall all take this matter before the Lord Jesus this day, he will interfere and avert the evil which else will come upon his church. To adulterate the church is to pollute a well, to pour water upon fire, to sow a fertile field with stones. May we all have grace to maintain in our own proper way the purity of the church as being an assembly of believers and not an unsaved community of unconverted men. Our zeal must, however, begin at home. Let us examine ourselves as to our right to eat at the Lord's table. Let us see to it that we have on our wedding garment, lest we ourselves be intruders in the Lord's sanctuaries. Many are called, but few are chosen. The way is narrow, and the gate is straight. Oh, for grace to come to Jesus aright, with the faith of God's elect! He who smote Uzzah for touching the ark is very jealous of his two ordinances. As a true believer, I may approach them freely. As an alien, I must not touch them, lest I die. Heart-searching is the duty of all who are baptized or come to the Lord's table. Search me, O God, and know my way. Try me, and know my heart.
Your heart with
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, "A Humble Attempt to Promote Explicit Agreement and Visible Union of God's People in Extraordinary Prayer for the Revival of Religion and Advancement of Christ's Kingdom on Earth." Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. Today, Dr. Cairns continues the final message in his studies in the Epistle to the Colossians, focusing on the theme of living in the experience of God's power. The text is chapter 1, verse 29, "Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily," in which Paul is speaking of his labors to produce mature Christians. As we've mentioned, the word "worketh" contains the idea of energizing. Christians are energized by the Holy Spirit. On the other hand, ungodly, lost people are energized by Satan. Here is the explanation for the terrible, sinful, chaotic state of today's world. Yet sinners can come to know the transforming power of Christ through the gospel. Salvation is the first experience of the power of God. Then believers experience the power of God in their lives in the process of sanctification. It is God's will that His people be holy, and every true child of God will have a desire for holiness. God brings this sanctification about in a number of ways. The first means is by working conviction in the hearts of His children. No longer can a Christian sin and enjoy it. Sin breaks fellowship with God, and a believer has no rest until things are made right. And now with today's message, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
Now, without going into the good pleasure of God in any detail, I will simply make the broad assertion that the good pleasure of God for a Christian is always a matter of holiness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 says, "This is the will of God, even your sanctification." Let us realize this. It is never the good pleasure of God for His people to backslide or get into sin or wickedness or fleshliness or worldliness. That is never the will of God. That is never the good pleasure of God. Many a time I've come across people, and when they are faced with some issue in their life, they almost blaspheme God by piously saying, "Well, I will pray about that." Sounds very holy, does it not? There are times when it is quite legitimate to have that response. But let me tell you, when the Bible says, "Thou shalt or thou shalt not," there is nothing left to pray about except the grace of obedience. What's to pray about? Where's the area that you can't understand? When God says thou shalt or thou shalt not, what is it that's still there to be decided? It is never the good pleasure of God for God's people to live in disobedience to Him, to live against His law or without reference to His gospel and His Christ. It is never the will of God that we live unholy lives. Now let's understand that. Why? Because notice the context. I've already preached in verse 27. Christ is in you. By His Holy Spirit. Christ is indwelling His people. Can we ever reduce the blessed God, whom we love and serve, at least professedly? Can we ever reduce the presence of our Savior by His Holy Spirit within us to an impotent presence or an impotent force? Can we ever deny that the Spirit is intrinsically, necessarily the Spirit of holiness? God is working in every man and woman whom He has purchased with the blood of Christ and justified by faith in Jesus. God is working in those people to will and to do of His good pleasure. And therein we have the ground, the foundation upon which we may exercise our responsibility to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Again, without wanting to expound those words particularly, I am greatly impressed when I read the Bible that the fear of the Lord is a term throughout Scripture that is always associated with worship. It is a term that in many occasions is a synonym for worship. And the idea of fear and trembling is worshiping with a vision before us of the majesty and the glory and the greatness of our God, being so impressed with who and what our God is, we worship Him. That's working out our own salvation. In other words, every area of life, like the spokes of a wheel coming out from the hub, every area of life is intimately connected with our vision and our worship of our God. I want you to get that picture in your mind. Never, never, never let us forget it. Illustrations always, always leave a lot to be desired. But nonetheless, get the picture of that hub, all those spokes, and then the perimeter, the rim that holds it all together, is the gospel revelation of Jesus Christ. So I want you to see every area of your life. No matter what area it is, it's just a spoke of life, and it is connected with your vision and your worship of God and your exercise of faith in the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And it's that faith in Christ that brings integrity. I use that in its most basic sense. Integrity and wholeness and unity in the Christian life. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because God is working in you. God is working in you. You see, believers work towards a more perfect holiness as the Lord, with his divine energy, works in them. It's that energy that stirs us up and steers us into right paths. How often have we said or sung the words of Psalm 23 in verse 3, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness." But the children of God have this mark. They are led by the Spirit of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they and they alone are the sons of God. So if you're a child of God, you're led by the Spirit of God. Where does the Spirit of God lead his people? Into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So God's people do experience God's power working in them in sanctification. Think of this in a little more detail. Number one, he works in them conviction of sin. I'm sure you've noticed this in your own life, if you're a Christian. There were things that you got into before you were saved. There were things that you loved and liked and you're completely at home in. In fact, they were so much your proper environment that you were unaware sometimes that you were thinking, saying, or doing them. Completely at home. You were like a fish in water. And then you get saved. And suddenly, you have a tender conscience that things that never bothered you now bother you a whole lot. I have sometimes mentioned a man who had a very, very profound influence in my early Christian life. I became an elder in our church in Mount Marion. I had met this man in his unconverted days. I was just a little boy, but I had met him. And he was the most foul-mouthed individual that you could ever have the misfortune to talk to. He couldn't talk without foul language. It had got to such a stage, he was not even aware that he was saying anything offensive. He cursed and he swore just the way you or I would say hello or good morning. It was second nature to him. And if you'd asked him to stop it, he could not have done so. But when he was over in Canada, God took him to a little Baptist church. God did a miracle and God saved him. And you know, the very first obvious change in his life was God washed his mouth out. And from that moment, the slightest hint of a double entendre or the slightest hint of impurity of speech or blasphemy of utterance was like a sword to his heart. And he used to lament. He said, there were times when the devil would bombard my mind and remind me of these things and try to bring back and suggest all sorts of vile and vicious things to say, especially against the Lord. And it broke his heart. Things that before would never, never have even crossed his mind as even to worry about. Now he had a conscience. And I think to some extent you may not have suffered from his particular sin, but we've all known what that is, where the Lord gives you a conscience. Why? Because you're indwelt by the Spirit of God. And it is the peculiar work of the Holy Spirit of God to convict. Jesus said, John 16, verse 8, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Reproving of sin. You see, the indwelling Holy Ghost strives against the sin in our flesh. We are still in the flesh. There's no getting out of that until we are glorified or until we die. We are in the flesh. And in my flesh, said Paul, dwelleth no good thing. Sin dwells in the flesh. And that's not just speaking of the skin and bone, but it's speaking of the entire body and brain, by the way, as a willing servant of sin. Now, the Holy Ghost strives against that. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Listen, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Now, there's the battle in a Christian. Some people get worried that there's a battle within them. Man, the only time you've got to worry is when there's no battle within you. See, if you're able to sin and there's no battle, if you can live in sin and there's no battle, you're in trouble because you're unconverted. How can I say that? The flesh lusteth against the Spirit lusteth against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. Now, watch the last line. So that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Now, there's an insight into true psychology, biblical psychology, an insight into a converted soul. Because there is the Spirit within you, lusting. The word lust, of course, does not necessarily imply wickedness. The lust of the flesh is wickedness. But the word lust in itself simply is a word that expresses very strong desire. And so you have this movement of the flesh against the Spirit, but you have this strong moving of the Spirit against the flesh. With the result, with these two contrary forces, you cannot do the things that you would. There are things that your flesh would do. And sometimes, to our shame, we have to say, we allow the flesh to do. And that's when conviction kicks in. For you can't do those things. There was a time when you could do it without a thought. But you can't do it anymore. Not with any comfort. There's a battle going on, the striving of the Holy Ghost within us against sin. So he works conviction.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.